Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Unraveling the subprime mystery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Hopefully, soon enough, we'll know exactly what happened with these subprime mortgage lenders. Yesterday, the Securities and Exchange Commission acknowledged for the first time that it's looking into several companies, not just New Century Financial. And this goes beyond the lenders. Big Wall Street investment firms are also under scrutiny. There's some concern analysts may have ignored mounting problems in the subprime industry. Today, the Federal Reserve opens its latest meeting, and that'll include a decision on interest rates tomorrow. More now from John Dimsdale.
Some economists worry the hard times in the housing market are beginning to drag down the entire economy. Mortgage foreclosures are breaking records, and lenders are tightening up on credit. Some say now's the time for the Fed to reduce interest rates to shield the economy from a decline. But economic forecaster Jack Albertine says that's not how central bankers see it.
They are even more worried about possible inflation than they are about a possible recession.
Energy prices are high, says Albertine, and likely to go higher, threatening inflation. He says if the Fed reduced interest rates tomorrow, it would be a bad sign.
If they did, it would be dramatic news that they are really spooked by what's happening in the subprime lending sector.
Despite warnings from the previous Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, about housing's ripple effect, Albertine and others think the Fed will see strong job growth as a buffer against recession. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Despite all the worrying, Wall Street had a pretty big rally yesterday. The Dow gained 115 points to 12,226. The NASDAQ put on 21 to 2394. The S&P 500 added 15 to 1402. Today, Japan's Nikkei climbed about 1%. Stocks opened lower in Europe this morning. Oil prices are at about $57 a barrel. Today, a chemical safety board hands out its final report on BP's oil refinery explosion in 2005. It was the worst U.S. industrial accident in decades. 15 people died at the Texas City refinery. In BP's home country of Britain, this is a top story this morning. Our correspondent Stephen Beer joins us from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Scott.
We've heard a lot of reports about this explosion because of the magnitude of it. What exactly is the weight of this report?
Well, this is the big one. As you say, we've had lots of interim reports from the Chemical Safety Board, but the report published today is indeed the definitive one, and we've had an indication that it's going to be extremely critical. The head of the board, Carolyn Merritt, was quoted saying that she found BP's safety culture, quotes, terrifying.
Well, what exactly is BP worried about that might be in this report?
Well, the killer finding, and this is the finding that most of the press here suggest will be in this report, is that there was a link between the cost cutting at BP and the poor level of maintenance which led to the explosion and fire at Texas City. And furthermore, that executives have been warned that the cost cutting was jeopardizing safety, but pressed ahead nevertheless. This would constitute a pretty damning indictment of senior management at BP because it was on this cost-cutting that their reputations and, more to the point, their bonuses were based.
You quoted the woman who heads the Chemical Safety Board as using the word terrifying. Do you get the sense in covering this story over the past few months that BP fully acknowledges and understands how bad this was?
I think they do now. This has been a major problem and caused a huge upheaval at the company. The senior executive, Lord Brown, has left early. There's no doubt, and as we've said, the company is spending huge amounts of money to try and improve safety. I'm told that there is something like a cultural revolution underway. I mean, as we know, BP stands for British Petroleum, but in fact, here in the City of London, those initials in recent months have stood for a big problem.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Yesterday, a group of prominent scientists warned that the U.S. is on the verge of losing its edge in biomedical research. They told a Senate committee the government hasn't been putting enough money into scientific research, and it's starting to take its toll. Pat Loeb reports.
American science made huge strides in the treatment of cancer, AIDS, and other diseases between 1998 and 2003, when funding for the National Institutes of Health doubled. But since 2003, funding has been frozen. Dr. Brent Iverson of the University of Texas says the flat funding has far-reaching effects.
We're very concerned that we're going to lose out not only on the new ideas that may have been transformative, we're also going to lose out on a generation of scientists who are just discouraged.
Iverson says the U.S. could begin losing ground to global competitors. Kevin Casey of Harvard says already students are being drawn away from U.S. programs.
In these countries that have adopted life sciences as a focus for their economy, like China, Singapore, India, there is now a much stronger magnetic pull, and so there is a concern that that could have a long-term impact.
The scientists urge senators to fund NIH at least enough to keep up with inflation. I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
You've probably heard the term McJob. It's been used for years to describe fast food jobs or similar low-paying work. In fact, the Oxford English Dictionary defines McJob as an unstimulating, low-paid job with few prospects. Well, McDonald's has had enough. The company's UK division has launched a campaign to get the word McJob out of the dictionary, or at least get a new definition. McDonald's wants to define McJob as a job that's stimulating, rewarding, and offers genuine opportunities for career progression and skills that last a lifetime. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.